Yep.
Yeah.
That's like the politics of the economics of the system.
Hello, America. How are you? Have some coffee. It's delicious. Hello, my name is Jeff Hedley. Welcome once again to the Original Unoriginal Podcast. This week, Mr. Nick Melton is on assignment, by which I mean he's an hour away from where I am, and has a job. My guest tonight is a recurring guest and host of her own wonderful podcast, Media Monkeys and Junkie Junkies, the blog, Stephanie C. Carnison.
Hello, America, how are you? That's like what you do.
It is. So yours sounds like, I don't know, the beginning of Monday Night Football or something. Like, yours...
Do you know what, I was listening to the other day, I listened to, the episode of my podcast where, right after the election.
Yeah.
And I love how Phil is like, we're all really drunk, and Phil keeps trying to talk about how amazing the country is, and I just keep being like, and I'm proud to be in America!
Yeah. The original run of Media Monkeys.
But speaking of America...
Yeah, we got a film that's straight out of America today. This is a film that I've never seen before, so it's very exciting. It's the best movie of all time, as we like to say on our show. And it is from 1988, directed by Daniel Goldberg, although I think he was credited as Dan Goldberg on the screen.
I think he was, too.
The film is Feds.
F-E-D-S, as in Federal Agents, Feds. Starring Rebecca De Mornay and Mary Gross.
Yes. And if you listeners have never heard of this movie, you're not alone.
I don't know why I was so, like, I was like, I have to watch this movie with Jeff. I think it's because I knew that, because I know that you're with me on being able to appreciate those late 80s, early 90s,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, comedies that are just so ridiculous. And I was like, Jeff would totally dig this movie with me. And I was saving telling you my experience with this movie, because you asked me, like, haven't you seen this before? And like, the time that I saw this movie was when I was at summer camp, the one time I ever went to summer camp, and it was the summer between 7th and 8th grade, and we watched two movies at summer camp. One of them was Feds, and the other one was Stripes. Bill Murray.
That's mind-blowing, because I was about to say, this is just Lady Stripes and the FBI.
See, that's awesome. Yeah, we watched these two movies because, do you know what my camp was? It was an all-girls camp.
Yeah.
So Fez is appropriate. But it was a camp all about leadership.
Of course.
The two movies that we watched were Feds and Stripes.
That's fantastic.
I know. And this was at Peace College, which Christina has heard me talk about before.
Yeah.
Because it's an all-women's college in Raleigh, North Carolina. And there's this movie theater that we drove by one time, and I was like, how close is this movie theater to Peace College? And she was like, pretty close, actually. And I was like, that's the movie theater where I saw Toy Story 2.
Was that during that same
trip? That was during the same trip. So the movies that I saw that summer were Toy Story 2, Feds, and Stripes.
I can't believe it was Stripes. Like I said, one of the first, like, snarky comments I was going to bust out with when the show started was, it's like Lady Stripes in the FBI. And then you said that, and I was like, well, you just took the piss out of that.
Well, I know, I feel bad, because it would have been way better if you said that first.
Yeah,
and then I was like, speaking of.
It's totally fun.
The other thing is, for the longest time, I thought that Sean Young was in this movie, because Sean Young is in Stripes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw them at the same time.
But no, it's Rebecca De Mornay.
And Mary Gross.
The Hand That Once Rocked the Cradle.
Yes, this is 4 years before The Hand That Rocked the Cradle, and a couple years after Risky Business.
Yeah. She's the
hooker in Risky Business.
She's the
business that's so risky.
I'm sorry, I just never think
she's the company ink that he dips his pen in. Because it's a business. You're too young.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so flabbergasted because I know when I think of Rebecca De Mornay, I only think of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle because I think of, like, she was somebody they tried to make famous for 10 seconds.
That makes
and it
me
didn't
laugh
work.
Because I also think of her in The Three Musketeers, the Disney version.
Oh God,
she was some lady who was with Kiefer Sutherland. She was like Kiefer Sutherland's ex-wife that he thought was dead, and then like she's some she's a spy or something, and then Kiefer Sutherland finds out she's alive, and then, like, it turns out she's done all this stuff because she thought he was never going to take her back, and it was a whole thing.
I completely forgot she was in that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, because it's a Disney movie.
Who was the main love interest, though? There was a chick that was the main love interest in that movie.
Because there's a chick who's the love interest of, well, there's a couple ladies in that movie.
Right, right.
Because I'm pretty sure the queen in that movie is the chick on Burn Notice. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so.
Okay.
And then there's the other woman who I always see and stuff. Is it Julie Delphi, I think is her name?
Yeah, yeah.
She's Chris O'Donnell's love interest. And then Charlie Sheen sleeps with everybody because he's Charlie Sheen.
He certainly does.
And then Oliver Platt is Oliver Platt, so he also sleeps with lots of ladies.
Just like on Huff. Remember when you tried to watch that?
I did, and it was bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, this movie feds. The thing from this movie I always remembered was the pizza eating contest. Not because of the thing about the worms, but I remember watching it and thinking, they're not eating the crusts.
Well, yeah, but then Mary Gross explains in the beginning when she's explaining. No, it's not Mary Gross. It's Larry Cedar.
The rules, right? They just have to get the cheese off the crust.
Can I talk about Larry Cedar for a second?
Oh, please do.
Actually, you know what? Let's do the OUP protocol here and then lead it into conversation. Let's start with the cast list, and I think they've got it in, like, the correct billing. Yeah, they do. Okay, so, of course, Rebecca De Mornay as Elizabeth Ellie DeWitt, former Lady Marine, and then Mary Gross as Janice Zuckerman, former Mary Gross.
Older sister to Michael Gross.
Yes, yes, I didn't realize that. Mary Gross, like, I gotta talk about her for a second.
Please do!
You're fascinated with this. Mary Gross, like, she's never struck me as a lead in a picture. Oh my god, it's that guy.
No, go on, we'll come to this.
But anyway, she's never struck me as the lead in the picture, so when you told me this movie existed where it was Rebecca De Mornay and Mary Gross in, like, a buddy cop movie, I was like, there's no way that should be real. So... Because Mary Gross, like...
Because for a long time, I thought I did make up this movie.
Oh, I can imagine. Because we were watching it 5 minutes in, and I was like, is this a real movie? There's no way this is a real movie. And this was a Warner Brothers Pictures release produced by Ivan Reitman, and I have never heard of this movie. How much money did this movie make? It's usually on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it is. On the Wikipedia page... Oh, it doesn't even say.
Snap. Maybe it's on the IMDb page.
Let's see.
You go to, like, the thing at the bottom that has that sort of thing. It's, go up, and it's on the left side, on the menu. This is fascinating for the listeners. Box office business, there we go.
I don't even see that.
Under other info. You're learning about IMDb, listeners. Let's see, gross $3 million. And that's in its entire theatrical run. By comparison, The Rocker, starring Rainn Wilson, a movie I love, only made $6 million in its theatrical run. And is a movie that I love. But that was just a random comparison. But Feds! Warner Brothers... I can't believe someone was like, hey, let's make a buddy cop movie with ladies. With Rebecca De Mornay.
Also, I love that the last line of the movie is the tagline on the poster.
Sleep tight, America, these women carry guns.
The last line of the movie is Rebecca De Mornay saying, I hope America will sleep tight knowing that women like us carry guns. Because the whole movie, I really... it's really great because, you know, it's a buddy cop movie. But instead of a white man and a black man, it's a lady who's a tomboy and a lady who's a nerd. And they're ladies trying to get in the FBI. And ladies don't do that.
As evidenced by the score by Randy Edelman.
Exactly. The music was very, yeah, womp, 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 womp.
Like, you had, in your classic Stephanie fashion, when the movie first started and that first song kicked in, you did your thing where you start creating lyrics for the song. And I'm trying to remember what they were, but it was something about, like, you know, ladies don't belong in cops, isn't this crazy, or something like that.
It was something like, you know, like... Back in the morning, Mary Gross, you'd never believe it, but they're trying to be federal agents in the way of the ladies. But they're gonna do it.
They're taking it to the streets like Boba Fett.
They got Moxie.
Chocolate with Moxie.
Oh my god, have you tried Choxie? Yeah. It's the chocolate from Target.
Yeah, I've had
it.
It's tasty.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Feds. Back to the cast, though, because now it's about to get crazy.
Yeah, talk about that guy.
Was he the next up? Oh, let's go to the list.
Let's see
here. Oh, he's not far away from it. Up next is Ken Marshall as Brent Shepard. I think he's the would
the
be
cute one.
Love interest of Rebecca De Mornay's character. And then beloved politician and television sensation
Fred Dalton Thompson, with the most hair and least white I've ever seen of his hair.
Oh yeah.
And try to remember the line. Oh, where, like, he's one of the teachers, and, you know, the teacher's doing a thing where they're pretending to be terrorists and kidnapping a guy, and the students have to find him. And they ask him, they're like, you know, shouldn't you tell us, like, who's in charge and who's doing what? And he goes, don't ask me, I'm the terrorist. And I was like, it's funny, because he's Fred Thompson, and he's talking about being a terrorist.
He's a Republican.
He is.
That's crazy.
And he ran for president.
He did. You know who didn't run for president, though, but I love...
Sam Waterston?
Well, yes.
They were both on Law & Order. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But also Larry Cedar, who's the next credited person who plays Howard Butts.
Yeah, who is this guy? Because you were very excited about him.
I love Larry Cedar. He's one of my favorite, like, unsung character actors. The thing that most people probably know him from is that he was in the cast of Square One TV on PBS. Do you remember that show?
No.
I can't believe you don't, but... He's been in a lot of other things, but the one other thing that I most notably know him from is, do you remember the episode of Saved by the Bell where they go to a murder mystery weekend?
No, but I'm sure it happened.
Well, they did, and he was like the guy who owned the quote-unquote mansion.
Right.
But he's just like a great character actor, and he's been in a lot of stuff, as you can tell.
I'm scrolling through here, and I'm trying to see if there's anything specifically that
a lot of bit parts, you know.
Right.
He was in Master of Disguise as a businessman.
Oh my god, Master of Disguise.
Yep.
He was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
He's never, like, been, like, a...
Oh, he was in Mary and Tim! I have no idea what that is. I noticed that on there, and I was like, okay, sure.
Square One TV, though, there you go, 29 episodes. He was, like, one of the main people. He's the guy that I feel like was the face of that show. There was him, there was a red-haired chick, and a black guy. What is his name? Reggie Cathy, who was in The Mask... He's the guy who, like, gets shot in the stomach, and he, like, has the cigarette, and it falls out of his hand, and the guy's like, oh, shit. You know that guy? In The Mask, the guy who gets shot when The Mask comes and robs the bank before they...
Right, the black guy?
Who gets shot, and he, like, dies with the cigarette.
Shit, what did I just see him in recently? I just watched something else that he was in, and he had a... Oh, Airheads!
He was in Airheads, yes!
I watched Airheads with Christina.
Reggie Cathy.
Actually, I was watching Airheads, and Christina woke up and came in. She's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, watching Airheads. And she sat down and watched it with me.
That's such a great movie.
Oh, God, it is. And, of course, I laughed, because Adam Sandler walks around in a midriff shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like... No, and then at one point, they make him get naked. And me and Christina were both like, oh, my goodness, early 90s Adam Sandler.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who'd have thunk it?
With his tattoos and
his face
skull
tattoos.
Cap.
Yeah. God. It's so funny.
I'm not to go off on an Airheads bridge, but I gotta tell you, like, as soon as you said you were watching Airheads, the immediate image I had in my head is the scene where Adam Sandler, like, goes outside to see what's up, and he's doing that weird robot dance with a cop.
And they hold up a gun, and he, like, runs away. And the cop is, the guy who's in everything he does. Alan...
Oh, Alan Covert.
Yes.
Yeah, Alan Covert. Who was also in Heavyweights as King of the Camera.
The other thing that was really hilarious was I was trying to tell Christina who all the people were, because I was like, because she's like, who's in it? And I was like, oh my god, who's in it? And I start listing off people, of course, like Brendan Fraser, Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi, Michael McKean. And I'm listing off all these people, and she sees Joe Mantegna, and she's like, oh, Joe Mantegna! And I was like, how does she know Joe Mantegna? I was like, Criminal Minds. Exactly. I was like, of course she knows Joe Mantegna. He's on Criminal Minds.
He was also on Joan of Arcadia, which...
I always think of him as being from Baby's Day Out, which is terrible.
That is terrible. When I think of Joe Mantegna, I do think of Baby's Day Out. I also think of Fat Tony from The Simpsons.
And I think of the 5 seconds that he's in Three Amigos when he fires them.
Yes. Oh, God.
He's like, you're fired! I'm Joe Mantegna, and I'm angry with a cigar in the 30s.
Three Amigos, that's a movie I need to watch again. I haven't seen that movie since it's been like 5 years. It's been a long time.
Oof, good movie.
But Feds. I don't think there's anyone else of note in the cast except for...
Tony Longo as the sailor and Don Stark as
Willie the gun salesman. Yes, Don Stark. We'll start with Don Stark because he's sort of far less interesting a story here. Don Stark, who most people know as Donna's father on that 70s show, looking very young and kind of like... I hate to use it like a Jersey Shore term, but kind of Guido cut.
Who was the It's not Jersey Shore term. It was a thing before
well, I
that.
Well, I know, but like the way they're like, he's just a big, muscly,
juicy Guido.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who I said he looked like when we were watching it. I was like, he could play somebody's brother.
Oh, you said he could play Anthony LaPaglia's brother?
Yeah, he could.
Anthony LaPaglia, who was on Without a Trace. I bet Christina watches that too.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, she watched In Plain Sight. She probably watched Without a Trace.
We say all this with love.
Criminal Minds.
She watches all those CBS shows.
She loves them.
That the old people love.
USA.
And USA, yeah.
Because she likes In Plain Sight and, what's that other one? Royal Pains.
Royal. Oh, God.
Oh, my God, I love Christina so much.
Yes. But yes, but also, we gotta go to this guy. Tony Longo as the sailor, who is notable for a million different reasons, the first of which being in the opening credits, he gets the coveted and credit.
Yeah.
And Tony Longo as the sailor. It is amazing. I can't.
And then, like, we didn't think of that until it got to him, and then Jeff is like, oh, he's the sailor. And I was like, oh my God, he is. Because he was dressed in a Navy uniform, and Mary Gross said some filthy things to him.
She did, including things about his Moby Dick.
And wanted him to take her upstairs and put her into a coma. I was like, yikes!
She's very sexually strange.
Tony Longo was on an episode of Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
No, I'm sure it was. But the thing I know Tony Longo best for, which is the reason why
he was an house guest.
I was gonna say he was one of the. I know him usually for being a chubbier henchman. And House Guest is one of the movies. I want to say Man of the House is another movie. I know he was like a. I think he was in Angels in the Outfield as one of the.
Yeah,
players.
I just passed it.
Yeah, but like he in the early.
He was on an episode of Hunter.
Oh, I believe it. But I'm saying in the early '90s, he was definitely like one of those guys who always played, like, the mafia henchman in Disney family comedies.
Oh, my God, totally.
So, like, and he's so, like, he's at least not as stocky in this movie, because he's apparently a sailor on leave, but she wants him to put her in a coma.
God!
I think you turned to me, and we both had the most horrified looks on our faces.
Like, what?
She wants him to do terrible things to her.
He's on episode 6 Feet Under. It's called It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, which, if I'm not mistaken, that's an episode where a Santa Claus dies.
Was he the Santa Claus?
No, he was one of his biker friends. The Santa Claus was a biker. And, like, it was all bikers at his funeral. Because I remember one of them was also the guy that played Warren in, not Buffy. In There's Something About Mary.
All right.
Her retarded brother.
I'm noticing also his guest appearances on episodes of Drake and Josh and That's So Raven.
Oh, I did see that earlier. And he was also in Mulholland Drive.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Mulholland Drive, easily one of the worst movies ever made.
The Young and the Restless. Crossing Jordan.
He had a recurring role on Days of Our Lives. He's definitely one of those bit actors. And I'm sure he always plays, like, the tough Italian guy.
Right.
But yes.
The sailor.
Tony Longo, we salute you. So, I mean, we've talked a bit about the movie, but, like, have we covered the plot here? I mean,
I don't think so.
The basic plot of this film, Rebecca De Mornay is a lady Marine who leaves the Marines and joins the FBI Academy. And
is as much of a tomboy as Rebecca De Mornay could play.
It's true. To the point that you remarked at one point that she'd be a good Buffy if it had been a few years earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
If she'd been age-appropriate, she would have been a delightful
Which
Buffy.
I totally see. There's another actress who looks exactly like Rebecca De Mornay, who was on that show Invasion, and I used to get them confused a lot. She's now on that show on USA, Covert Affairs, which I'm sure Christina watches as well. All with love. Actually, I kind of want to watch Covert Affairs, I can't lie. it's as close to another Alias as we're going to get, it seems. But anyway, yes, Rebecca De Mornay, The Hand That Rocked the Cradle.
Which, oh my God, that movie.
I've never seen it, but I've always wanted to.
I watched it a couple months ago, and it was horrifying.
Oh, I'm sure.
She was a scary, scary lady.
That was the movie that swept the nation with terror.
It was terrifying! But, there's one part, though, like, that made me really, really mad. And that's when, I'm not giving a lot of this movie away
also, like, 18 years ago.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, she does all sorts of creepy shit. Like, so she's like an au pair in their house, right?
Right.
And, she is breastfeeding their baby, okay? And at one point, the mom goes to her old house, Rebecca De Mornay's old house, and she's with the realtor. And the realtor is like this 50-year-old guy, okay? That's very important. He's okay. A middle-aged man. And they're walking around the house, and they get into, like, what was a nursery. And there, she looks over, and there's a breast pump sitting on, like, a shelf. And the realtor guy goes, "That's a strange-looking toy." And I was like, "You're a grown man. You don't know what a breast pump looks like." Like, I can understand if he was, like, a young guy. But I was like, "You're, like, 50-some-odd years old, and you've never in your life seen a breast pump." But I just couldn't believe, like, "That's a strange-looking toy." And the mom's like, "It's not a toy. It's a breast pump." Like, that's the whole thing.
The hand that rocks the cradle.
Awesome. Terrifying. Scary movie. Made my uterus cry.
I always equate The Hand That Rocks the Cradle with The Good Son, which we watched a few months ago as well.
Yeah.
I love The Good Son, by the way. That movie was far better than I ever expected it to be. Also because...
Wasn't it? It was so
but
scary.
But I liked it a lot more than I expected I would, because it's one of those movies where one person's insane and everybody else is crazy.
Thinks they're
but
crazy,
I think he's
right.
Crazy. But I fucking love that movie. I want to watch it again.
It was really awesome. It was so scary.
It's genuinely
I love
brilliant.
Scary children. Like, scary children movies always made me be like, "Oh, God, what do you do to an evil child?"
What you do in that movie, which is amazing. It's so great. The ending. Oh, gosh. Listeners, if you could have seen the hand motion, it would have been both beautiful. But anyway, yes.
The Good Son, Macaulay Culkin, Elijah Wood. See it.
Yeah.
It's pretty, it's not old, it's like, I would say it's an old movie, but it's like 97, 96?
Oh gosh, no, older than that, it's like 92. Think how young Macaulay Culkin was.
Right, but I'm like, he wasn't younger than Home Alone.
I know what I'm saying, by comparison, Richie Rich came out in 1994. So think about how much older he was in that.
It's like, it's like Wikipedia has never heard of this movie. I typed it in wrong.
You typed Good Soon.
Good Soon.
Which I think is a Chinese restaurant down the street.
yes, there it is. '93. Wow.
Which I think was the same year Home Alone 2 came out.
Evil has many faces. That's what this poster says. It's just Macaulay Culkin like, "Hey, I'm cute.
And I'll kill you."
Right. Yeah. Oh, scary.
Such a good movie. Not, you know what's not scary, though?
Feds.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Continuing the plot, though, yes, Rebecca De Mornay, tomboy, lady, marine, comes to the FBI Academy, rooms with Mary Gross, who's more of the book smart FBI agent wannabe.
You want me to read the Wikipedia plot? It's really short. It's only three paragraphs.
Sure.
Ellie DeWitt, Rebecca De Mornay, is a former U.S. Marine who wants to become an FBI agent. However, where she has the physical skills, she doesn't have as much success in memorizing all the books she needs to learn. Fortunately for her, she's in the same room with Janice Zuckerman, Mary Gross, a woman who's as smart as they come, but physically very weak. Overcoming the male recruit's assumptions of them, Ellie and Janice team up to help each other through the basic training so they can both become federal agents. During their training, Ellie and Janice must deal with an instructor that seems determined to fail the pair, a fellow trainee that seems more interested in flirting with Ellie until Ellie asserts her marine training and pins him against the wall in one exercise, and befriend a geeky co-trainee that seems unable to complete the smallest task.
Mary Cedar.
Joining forces, the three tackle the final practice simulation badly. No, they don't. They do really well. Badly forging the instructor's signature. He sneezed and breaking into the radio room to redirect the opposing team into a swamp. And then it doesn't even have like the ending.
Well, maybe that's for the best.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it was 22 years ago, but should we spoil the ending?
I mean, you know, it's the 80s in a comedy. You know they're gonna win.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
they win, they get special recognition.
Of course. And they break in, they, you know, defeat the terrorists, which are Fred Thompson and some people. And she was like, "Do we pass?" And he's like, "You get my vote." And they pass, and yeah, they get this special recognition. That's when she goes up and says the thing about, Oh, America will sleep better knowing that women like us have guns.
The one thing about Fred Dalton Thompson's presence in this movie that makes me so sad is that he never once used the phrase, "That dog don't hunt." Because he strikes me as the kind of old southern man who's like, "That dog don't hunt, brr!"
Why would he say that in this movie?
I don't know, because he's Fred Thompson.
Fair enough.
I'm kind of obsessed with old southern men that say, "That dog don't hunt," because it's one of the most ridiculous phrases ever.
I'm obsessed with old southern men drinking mint juleps.
Yes, the mint juleps. Sitting on a porch just being racist. With their mint juleps.
And their Colonel Sanders tie.
Crushing the mint against the ice cube.
With their thumb.
Yeah. Why do I know about that?
Well, I already knew about that, but then they talk about that in
Thank You for Smoking. Yeah, yeah.
And it made me laugh because I was like, that's already the image I had in my mind. Thank you, Robert Duvall.
It was Robert Duvall. I was thinking it was Sam Elliott, but no, he's the Marlboro
Man.
He's the Marlboro man.
Yeah. Who smoked cools.
Yeah, smoked cool.
Awesome.
Oh, feds. So I guess we're on to the point where it's time to talk about favorite moments. Favorite moments, Stephanie?
I don't know. There's so many. There's Rebecca De Mornay just teaching Mary Gross to kick people in the balls as just a strategy.
Yeah, remember the late '80s and the early '90s when like shots to the nuts were like the height of comedy.
Like that was the fart joke of the late '80s
and the early '90s, because you remember all like the Disney Family comedies, every trailer in. Oh! Yeah, like you remember Blank Check. Remember Blank Check? That's it. Where the kid who I swear that is that kid Nick Stahl?
Is it
the kid in Blank Check?
No,
is it Nick Stahl or Joseph Cross?
No,
who's the kid in Blank Check? That's the important thing. Who is it? Oh, Brian Bonsall. He was the younger brother on Family Ties.
I was like, no, it's somebody I have no idea who it is.
But yeah.
Blank Check is one of those movies I never actually saw it, but I was like, no, I get it. I was like, I can guess. He spends a lot of money.
My point is, my memory of Blank Check is that, like, Blank Check is the moment that I realized that the shot to the nuts was the height of comedy in the early 90s, because they kept showing in the trailer where, like, he kicks some dude in the nuts and he's like, that must have hurt. And I remember when the trailer kept running on TV, I'd go to school and everybody kept going, that's gotta hurt. And I was like, Blank Check. And I didn't see it for like 5 years after that. And I'm telling you, that cast list, not to go up on a Blank Check tear, I feel like that cast list is wrong, because I swear, like, the woman who's looking after him is Angie Harmon. But she's not on this list, so I'm confused.
By printing it on his Apple Macintosh Performance 600 computer.
Oh my god. Blank Check. I guess it wasn't, but I swear it was Angie Harmon. That's not the point. As a hero, shakes. But yes, what we're talking about,
feds,
yes, and the kick to the nuts. But you were also mentioning your favorite moments. Continue.
Oh, there's of course the pizza eating contest, just because that was what I remembered for watching it in my youth.
Yeah,
was the like 5 seconds where there's a pizza eating contest,
which,
because it's a very brief moment in the movie,
and it's not like I'm not that I'm the kind of guy to be like, you know, the connoisseur of this sort of thing, nor am I usually the fan of this kind of thing. But if you're gonna do a pizza eating contest, it needs to get a bit uncomfortable at a certain point, because
I know they only got through a pizza and a half.
Not even even then we opened in Medias Res where they're only starting a single slice each, and the one guy's like, oh, I don't know if I can do this, and she's all, I'm gonna fold this in half and eat it in half because I'm Rebecca De Mornay, bitch. And he's like, and he's about, and then Mary Gross comes in with the worm story and he goes off to puke. But I'm saying, like, we need like slow motion and like opera music and people like shoveling it into their mouths, because that's a classic.
Like, I mean, there wasn't enough of an event in this pizza eating competition.
I mean, to use an example from a movie you just saw recently, like the Barfarama scene in Stand By Me, you needed that level of discomfort.
Oh god, I was so uncomfortable.
That was like the first time I remember being grossed out by a movie when I was a kid. It was the Barfarama scene in Stand By Me.
Gosh, I love Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Will Wheaton.
I haven't seen much with Will Wheaton. I've only seen like half of an episode of TNG, so I have no idea what that's like.
He was like my first TV crush, but also I don't know. He's in season 3 of The Guild.
The Guild, yeah.
And you saw Stand By Me in your youth, I guess.
Yeah, I did. Last time I saw it was easily 20 years ago. Yeah.
God. Quill Wheaton.
Yeah, I need to watch that movie again.
Well, he's, young Richard Dreyfuss, so.
Snooch to the nooch.
He's adorable.
Remember that thing on Clerks?
I do. Yeah. I do remember that thing on Clerks.
Dante still works at the Quick Stop. I just wave hi to him every time I pass by. Whatever he says. It's so great. But yes, other favorite moments are already tapped.
I'm trying to think because there's just so much in this movie that I was like, because they're women!
There's so much of that. Like, this is one of those movies, and it was kind of a staple of the 80s and into the early 90s of, like, women shouldn't be doing this, and this is how they, you know, assert their equal rights, blah, 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 and it's a comedy.
But it wasn't, like, terribly offensive, though.
No.
I mean, it's also because, you know, they prove everybody wrong and
but,
they win.
But you still have to admit that, like, a lot of the moments of, like, the men doubting them, a lot of it was kind of cartoonish.
It was so silly.
It was so, like, of an older time. It didn't belong.
But, like, oh, of course there's the dress montage where Rebecca De Mornay is trying on different dresses to go out on the date.
Right, right. I'm sorry. I felt a phantom vibration
from
my phone.
Yeah.
So freaking out. But anyway, yes.
And she's trying on the different dresses, and it's funny because, like, she's trying so hard to look awkward in the dress, but, like, she doesn't because she's Rebecca De Mornay. Like,
there's
nothing awkward about her body at all. So she's like, sure is awkward for me to wear this fancy dress. And you're like, no, it isn't.
But it was another one of those classic...
And the dress she ends up with. The 80s.
It was one of those classic getting dressed up and people, like, looking at it and, like, tilting their head and shaking their head montages. And, yeah, you're right. Like, every dress got progressively more unattractive.
They were worse. And then the one she ends up with is just awful.
It makes her look like...
A linebacker?
No, like a Mormon going to a funeral. That's pretty much... Like she dressed the way I would imagine... fucking, what's the character's name? Nikki, to be, dressed at a funeral on Big Love. Like, Chloe Sevigny.
See, no, I know who that is, because I was going to say, she looks like... Anybody going to a funeral in a movie where the character is played by Mary Kay Place.
God.
Who plays her mom on Big Love.
I don't know if we've ever talked about my hatred for Mary Kay Place before, but it is
so strong. This is sad, because I love Mary Kay Place, but she always plays, like, a horrible cunt.
Because you remember when we watched The Big Chill, that piece of shit, and that was the moment where I was like, Mary Kay Place. But as I was driving up here today, I was thinking... Actually, I can't even make this reference because it gives away where we are. I try to keep it anonymous as best as I can.
But, I mean, she's really good on Big Love.
Yeah, she
is. And then she's also a, like, crazy Mormon mom in that movie Latter Days about Mormons.
Yeah.
And then
she was the mom in Captain Ron.
And she's the vaguely lesbian one in The Big Chill.
Yeah.
Because they never say she's a lesbian, but, like, she's kind of lesbian.
I feel like they do establish that she's a lesbian, and the whole only reason that she has sex with, is it Kevin Kline that she has sex with?
Yeah, Glenn Close tells her husband, Kevin Kline, to have sex with Mary Kay Place so she can have a baby.
When a sperm bank could have been just down the street.
Right, but, like, sperm banks cost money, I guess. She's more willing to pay her marriage.
Yeah. That marriage is not at all fucked for the future.
I know, right? She's like, no, just do it. I'm like, you're crazy. What else? Oh, I saw Mary Kay Place recently on an episode of Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies.
And she was a bitch. And I was like, I like you, Mary Kay Place, but you're always playing a bitch.
Any other moments from this film?
I don't know. It was just entirely delightful, I thought.
It's the thing about this movie, and I'll lead this into my favorite moments.
And of course the whole bit with the sailor.
The sailor. That was the thing I opened with, yeah. The Sailor, which I'll get back to, but I gotta tell you, like, this movie, when you look at this movie and you look at who's involved with this movie, you expect that they wanted it to be, I mean, as I described it, and I'm talking in terms of a level of humor, they wanted this to be Lady Stripes in the FBI. they clearly did, and, like, but the thing, and Mary Gross, who she's never really impressed me, but I mean, she's delightful enough, but she was never, like, she was on the bad seasons of SNL.
Yeah.
Like, the ones where Lorne Michaels didn't have anything to do with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can... And
Craig would probably be excited to see her because she was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
She was. She was one of the teachers at the school.
Greg loves some Sabrina the Teenage
Witch. I feel like
Witch.
She dated Martin Mull's character for a second. Like, remember when Martin Mull was on that show?
I love Martin Mull.
I do, too.
Remember when he was a shut-in on Golden Girls?
I do, yes.
I tried to talk to somebody about that episode the other day, but it was somebody who didn't watch The Golden Girls, so they didn't appreciate...
Was it Nick?
No, I think it was either Nick or Christina. It might have been Nick.
It's possible.
It might have been both.
He's never seen The Golden Girls.
I know.
It breaks
crazy?
My heart. We're going to change that.
It's really great.
Just so we can announce the glory of his experience on our show.
Oh my god, it's so awesome.
Yes. But yes, going into my... But yeah, my point is, like, the way the movie kind of tries to sell itself on a visual point is that it's supposed to be a laugh-a-minute, like, wacky Stripes, basically. And it's not. It's more of a, like, it's just more of, like, a quiet, kind of charming underdog story, and that's about as far as it gets. Except for the creepiness of Mary Gross wanting to be taken upstairs and put into a coma for the act of intercourse. And that, of course, leads to the sailor, who's my first favorite moment to note. The sailor, like I said, we kind of forgot the sailor existed.
I know, until we saw the sailor.
Like I said, the opening credits, he gets the and credit, and the sailor. He gets his full character name right there, the sailor. And then they go to the bar later, and there he is. Tony Longo is the sailor, and they're dancing, and she, like... But no, what's even more fucked up about that scene is beyond the thing about... I don't think anything could be more fucked up than that line about taking upstairs and going to be
a coma.
But the lead up to that, where, like, they decide they're going to have sex, and she starts to undress him in the middle of this public bar. It's and then, like, reach into his pants and stare at what she calls his Moby Dick because he's Captain Ahab. I was kind of startled by that, also because it's Mary Gross, and you don't expect her to do that. Also because Mary Gross, I told you about this, and you've never heard of it. You can look it up on IMDb if you want, or Wikipedia. Mary Gross, the thing I most know her from is from a movie from, like, I think it's 87, called Troop Beverly Hills, with Shelley Long and Craig T. Nelson. And I think it's a movie where, like, Shelley Long is, like, this pampered Beverly Hills mom who starts leading a Browning troop. And, like, I know that... A couple of the girls were... I know one of the girls was Jenny Lewis, as in Jenny Lewis, musician and actress. Mm-hmm. And I think Tori Spelling was one of them, too. But, like, my sister and my mother fucking love this movie. But Mary Gross is, like, Shelley Long's sidekick. Oh, Carla Gugino is one of them as well. Yeah, I can see that. I remember that, yeah. But Mary Gross is, like, her sidekick. Or is she not listed there?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Annie Herman, Mel's assistant and spy.
Yeah. Or no, she's not her sidekick, she's the villain's sidekick, and then switches sides at the end. That's the thing. I think that's it. Either way, the point is, that's what I know her from, and she's just like, I don't know, she's like the poor man's somebody, I just can't figure out who it is. You know, like, and by the way, when you were asking who she is, that doesn't look like, you know, Michael Gross, there's a little bit of a Paula Poundstone to her. But, that's hours ago.
Neither here nor there.
But the point is, Troop Beverly Hills, that was a movie. That existed.
She's also in The Santa Claus.
I remember that. She was
Practical Magic.
Yeah. Oh, she was in Tremors 3 Back to Perfection.
Shit! That's awesome.
As Tourist Mom.
Tremors 3, which of course, Tremors is associated with Michael Gross, father from Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Not Growing Pains.
Sha-la-la.
Because Growing Pains is Alan Thicke, isn't
Alan
it?
Alan Thicke, yes. Canada's legend. Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke is kind of like the precursor to Colin Mochrie if Colin Mochrie didn't have talent.
Alan Thicke, like, I always loved... I loved when he would, like, tell you who the hot moms were of whatever year it was on I Love the 80s.
Yeah.
And you're just like, Alan Thicke.
He used to have a talk show called Thicke of the Night.
That sounds disgusting.
Oh, God. I think he, like, preceded Arsenio Hall. Anyway, the rest of the thing about this... you're looking up her SNL thing right there, yeah. She had a few recurring... Oh, yeah, she did have a dynamite alfalfa. She played alfalfa when Eddie Murphy would play Buckwheat.
Yeah.
Amazing. She was fantastic. But other than that, she was kind of forgettable on that show. But anyway, yeah, that's Mary Gross and the Sailor, amazing. Fred Thompson... His presence is just like, it's Fred Thompson, and you're just like, what do you do with that?
Right? Totally.
My other favorite moment, really anything involving Larry Cedar, because I love that I get to love Larry Cedar the way America doesn't. It's a shame.
He was totally adorable as the nerd that she goes for.
He's one of, like, he's one of my favorite, like, you know, underknown character actors. Sort of a little, I mean, levels under John Larroquette, but you know, like, you know, I love me some John Larroquette. But
I was thinking of him the other day because of the thing on Futurama where Bender is like, there, now no one can say that I don't own John Larroquette's spine.
That's an episode. Oh, spines.
Because he has that one and it makes me laugh because also much earlier in the show in season one Fry buys the skeleton of Ted Danson.
Oh, Ted Danson. Hey, it's Ted Danson.
What is it? It's payback time?
Yeah, it's Ted Danson. It's payback time. Throws a bottle.
Ted Danson. Love Ted Danson.
I mean, I've said about all I could say about this movie except we could talk briefly about the score. Like I said, Randy Edelman, who most people, I don't know if people know him, but I know him as the guy who did the score to Billy Madison and the Whole Nine Yards. And he always has this, his music always sounds like either 80s synthesizer stuff or inexplicably like a circus.
I'm sorry, I still have the True Beverly Hills page open and I'm looking at the cameos down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I love that they include Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robin Leach, and Cheech Marin.
Yes, indeed. Well, I just noticed somebody else in the troupe. Who was the person I just noticed? Kelly Martin. Remember she was on Life Goes On and Christy and ER? That chick?
So I do.
You remember that show Life Goes On with the family that had the son that had Down syndrome?
No.
It was a big hit in the 90s on ABC.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Do you remember Second Noah?
I do.
I really liked that show.
Was that the show that had Seth Green and Jennifer Love Hewitt, or was that Birds of Paradise?
I think that was Birds of Paradise.
Do you remember Birds of Paradise?
Yes, vaguely.
Yeah.
But Second Noah, I'm trying to remember if there's anybody on it of note. Second Noah. Let's cool down. Is there any sort of cast?
You go back up to the top there. I guess not. Well, I mean, it's got that listing right there. It's about
Daniel Hugh Kelly, Betsy Brantley. Yeah, nobody famous was on the show.
Wow.
James Marsden. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. And Joey Lauren Adams.
Joey Adams.
Yeah, that's who I remember being on that show. Because at the same time, it's interesting because there was another show on NBC called, like, Taking Chances that was, like, Ben Affleck's debut.
But yeah, he was a vet at the Busch Gardens in Florida. And Busch Gardens in Florida is Africa. So they had animals at their house, like zebras, and like shit that Noah would have had on the Ark. It was really ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember my sister used to watch it.
I really dug that shit.
But you know what else is delightful?
Feds.
But I think I've said all I need to say about Feds.
I know. I'm like, what more can you say about this movie?
It exists, and you need to look at the poster online.
If just, nothing else.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix Watch Instantly, which is how we watch it.
Until September 1st.
You have to, until September 1st, listeners,
it's
to
there by Stars
see
Play.
This comedy classic?
This wonderful lady buddy cop film.
Yeah, I guess the 80s. That's it. I mean, I'm not. It's not like a laugh a minute. It's not a thrill a minute. It has moments where you're like, nah.
It's definitely cute.
It's adorable. Yeah. And creepy at times.
At moments.
It's not just the thing. Also, the scene where the guy gets the upper hand on Mary Gross, and he's like all up on top of her with the handcuffs.
Yeah,
and
he handcuffs her, and you're like,
what
ew,
the
you
fuck
creep?
Is going on? Like,
that guy's a creeper.
But no, I think she wanted him to take her upstairs and put her in a coma.
God.
It's that's like the most fucked up line.
God.
Oh.
Yeah, it was.
The sailor and his Moby Dick.
You should see this movie, you guys.
You should. You want to know why?
Because it's funny.
Also, because it's the best movie of all time. Yes.
Tonight.
I'm glad you picked up on that. I used to do that on my radio show, and I thought I was the only one who noticed.
You were supposed to explain to me, but I've always just assumed because I've never heard. I don't know what that's from, but it sounds like all night. Oh,
that
my
well,
Lord.
It's interesting because the person who I got that from may have gotten it from that.
You got it from somebody else.
I got it from somebody else. The tonight that came from an believe it or not an episode of Raw that was hosted by Dulé Hill from Psych, and he was like tough talking Chris Jericho about some match that he was booking because that was back when the guest hosts had general manager power.
Right.
Bad writing, but the point is like. But he was like tough talking Chris Jericho, and he's like, "You got a match tonight." And he's like, "Tonight."
But that's what I think every time I hear it because it sounds like all night long, all night, all night. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Lionel Richie, who also gave us Hello.
My mom and my sister love some Lionel Richie.
He made some delightful songs.
He probably made a lot of babies, too.
Yeah, including, allegedly, Nicole Richie.
Or,
maybe.
Well, I didn't mean... No, isn't she adopted?
Is she?
I'm pretty sure she is.
I thought that was why she was so kind of cocoa-colored.
No, I think it's because she's white and tries to...
Bronzer.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure Nicole Richie's adopted.
I'm a terrible person.
But, no. You made me forget what I was going to say. Oh, no, I didn't mean literally that he made babies. I meant
his music
made a lot of
classic
babies.
Classic baby-making music.
Because I'm sure one, if not all three of us, were in my family, were made to some Lionel Richie. My mom loves Lionel Richie.
It's like Ron Burgundy on jazz flute.
Because I'm trying to remember, like, that's the one that always comes to mind, and now I can't think of anything else. Did he do Once, Twice, Three Times, Lightning?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was also a member of the Commodores, and they did...
Yes, there we go, the Commodores,
Easy
that's
Like
it.
Sunday Morning.
Easy Like Sunday Morning.
Remember when that used to be in Denny's commercials?
Oh my gosh. Denny's. Grand Slam!
Feds. The best movie of all time!
Yeah, it is.
So that's that. That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you for being here, Stephanie.
Thank you for being here, Jeffrey.
I mean, I'm here in your place, so it's right. For me to be like saying, oh, thank you. Leave the studio when we're done.
But thank you for being here.
Yes,
it's good having you.
Yes, yes. I'm on.
Enjoy your company.
A bit of a leave to the town after leaving my hometown for a weekend. So it's good to be back. But
good having you.
It's yes, yes. But yes, Feds, best movie of all time! And of course, listen to Stephanie's podcast, Media Monkeys and Junkie Junkies, the blog.
Which you can find on Facebook by searching for it. Or you can go to SCKernison, KERNISAN, .tumblr, without an E, TUMBLR.
Yes, yes. Her show is basically what if I allowed myself to get more pop culture minded on the OUP. and trust me, it's vividly entertaining.
Thank you.
That's right. I said vividly. I don't know why I chose that particular word, but I'm going to stick with it. But yes, Media Monkeys and Junkie Junkies. Subscribe now, as I say on like every episode we've done since it's come back. I've been promoting the hell out of you, by the way.
Hey.
But anyway, yes. Feds, best movie of all time. Stephanie C. Carnison, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And I'm Jeff Heatherly. Go experience 7 days. Good night!
All night. Bye. Because we learned about checks and balances in ELPS, Economics, Legal, and Political Systems.
ELPS.
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 ELPS. ELPS.